Hello everyone, this is Brother Paul Brasson with the Wells of Salvation. We will be looking in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy for our reading, beginning with verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Christians to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring it with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now, we're going to be talking about, I need a coat because winter is here. In reading the early part of this chapter, when you have the opportunity, you're going to see the conditions that surrounded the time that Paul was in jail, the time that when he was out preaching, as we see here, Alexander the coppersmith did a lot of damage. He just didn't care for his preaching. And I'm going to tell you, the world is full of people that just does not care anything about the preaching of the Word of God. And some of them are willing and even anxious to kill you over it. But Paul is talking about the time in which, and this, by the way, is a charge that he's giving this young preacher, Timothy. He's saying, you know, you go ahead and preach the word and be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he's telling him the time's going to come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Now, a fable is just a tale, somebody that tells a story. It's not real. It's not true. And it seems that our society is just almost getting drunk on tales of a sort that does not bring about conviction of the Holy Spirit. It takes the Word of God to do that. It takes the Spirit of God to make it effective. So as we look at our scripture today, he is telling him to bring his coat. That's what I want to talk about today. He needed a coat. Well, it just happens at the time that this CD is being recorded, it's the fall of the year. We're into November. And here in the United States, it's different, of course, than what it is around the world. But we find that you look out and this beautiful scenery that you saw everywhere, the flowers and the bushes and the trees that brought about so much beauty, has suddenly withered and it is no longer there. The sap in the trees are leaving, going down to the roots of the tree in order to come back out in the spring and bring new growth and new beauty that it will present. And we see birds that will fly south from out of the north. They know winter is coming. So we see all these signs around us about a physical winter that is approaching swiftly, and it'll be here before you know it. It's already got cold enough here on the third day of November that you have to use the heat in the house because it would be too cold. But as the weeks wear on, it's just going to get colder and colder up through maybe the middle of April, and then, you know, March is coming when the winds blow. So we have our seasons here, whereas most of you just have a rainy season and a dry season. I want to talk to you, though, about a different kind of a season that the Apostle Paul was very familiar with, and he's describing it here in his charge to this preacher, Timothy. He's telling him that things are going to change. Where once people would endure sound doctrine, now then they will not. I've seen that in the years of my ministry. I've been preaching about 54 years, and during that time, I have seen people that attend church that one time would welcome a strong rebuke, just like Paul is telling Timothy here. They won't do it anymore. If you rebuke a congregation about sin that they're involved in, then they'll just leave and go somewhere where that they'll have their ears tickled. In other words, it'll just be these fables or these tales that will be told, and there's no real reproof from God directed toward them. At least they think that's it. And so it is that we are seeing the signs all around us of a spiritual winter. We're seeing, as these leaves fall, it reminds me of these people that have been such strong defenders of the truth of the Word of God. Most of them that I've always known, they've gone. They've gone to be with the Lord. And we didn't have anyone to replace them that was willing to take the same stand for the truth that they were. Because preachers that'll preach the truth, they don't stay long. The congregation will vote them out. They'll get someone that will preach more to their likes, and it just doesn't matter what the Word of God says. However, Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, the same shall judge you in that day." So by all means, they matter, and they matter very significantly. And so I just want you to get some idea with me about what we have as we consider this winter, when we're going to need a coat. Now, through the summertime, as you know, people go around short sleeve shirts, and they don't pay it any attention because the weather's warm. They're not cold. But once that weather starts turning, they notice that there's a chill in the air. And so they start going to stores and buying long-sleeved shirts and coats that they can wear during that time of weather. Now, there's parts of the United States and even north of the United States and Canada and Alaska, that, and even in what was the old Soviet Union, they have to suffer much stronger winters than we do here. There's so many people that die during the winter, one way or the other. It's either from the cold, or they tried to set a fire in a open chimney, or in a container that we call heaters, where you put wood in it and it heats up around it. Well, sometimes those things and oil heaters, they will get turned over, or whatever reason, they set the house on fire and people are asleep and they don't realize that the house is burning down around them until it's too late. And so we see that Paul, in looking at this description of the days that he's speaking of, they certainly bear all the marks of a winter time spiritually. And we're in that winter. And this is such an alarm, should be, to God's people, that we need to be on fire. And that lost people need to really be concerned about the condition of their lost soul. You see, usually conviction comes whenever a church is really on fire for the Lord, and they're praying for the power of the gospel to go forth and reach the hearts of lost people. And so, but whenever they grow cold, as Jesus said in the 24th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, when he was describing to his little church about what was going to happen or be happening at the time that he returned, and he said, because iniquity, that's sin, shall abound. That means it's just turned loose. There's no restraints. You can do most things, and if you have money especially, you can get by with it. You can pay your way out of it. But Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, which just means it'll grow cold. It doesn't get cold overnight. It's just a slow stage of a change in the heart of Christian people. The world, they have so many things to offer. There's so many ways to be a part of it that they keep inviting and inviting Christians out into it. And they tell them not to worry about their children. They'll be all right. And so it seems that the church has just gone out with the world to these worldly entertainments. And so whenever it becomes midnight, then the world will say, well, maybe it's time for you to go back home. But when they go back home, it's too late. The children are gone. And you see, this is what's happening in our homes. As the church is out with the world, our children have grown up and grown away from the gospel. They're not going to get saved without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So this is a sad circumstance that Paul is describing there. It's a very sad circumstance that we're living in these days. So I would admonish you and me and every one of us that if we know what the worth of prayer is, that we would pray to our God to revive our hearts and to help us to see another revival that would bring our children, our friends, and our enemies in under the warmth of the gospel so that they might be taken care of. Now, I'm going to mention to you a parable that Jesus told concerning a wedding. And he said there was a certain king that made a wedding for his son. And he sent his servants out, and they were to invite everyone. Come, for all things are now ready. The beasts have been killed, the oxen and so on that we're going to have to eat. Everything's ready. And you can just imagine in your mind's eye about the inside of a palace, where that everything is always so beautiful. But this is a special time. It's a time of a wedding. It's the happiest day of his son's life and his bride as well. Well, the servants, they go out and they tell the people that there's a wedding going over at the king's palace, or going to be, and he's invited you to come. Will you come? Well, we find in one place where one man said, well, I've bought me a piece of ground, and I'm going to have to go and walk over it, so I can't come. There was another that said, well, I have bought some oxen or a team of work animals, and I've got to go and prove them. I've got to go and try them out, so I can't come. And then still a third said, well, I have made me a wife, so I can't come. And so this king became very angry, and he told his servants, you go out there and revenge what they did to the ones I sent out first, because what happened, they took the servants of the king and entreated them spitefully and killed them. Now, this is a picture of the prophets of the Old Testament, that this invitation has been going ever since the Garden of Eden. There has been a way to come back to God, and God made it. And so now then we see that whenever these people went out, they said the wedding's ready, everything's worthy. But you know what happened? They went out to find the lowest of society, the good, the bad, the indifferent, poor people, just, you know, not really what you would want to see coming into a wedding feast. But these people were invited. And so whenever they came, there was a man. When the king got up to see the guest, he saw a man that didn't have on a wedding garment or a coat. And so he said, "Friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. That man couldn't say anything. There was no excuse. He could have had one. Do you see where that scripture is taking us? It's taking us into real time. Whenever the word of God is being preached in invitational setting of come, for all things are now ready. In other words, the sacrifice has been made, like you would sacrifice the life of a bull or cow or whatever it was they killed to eat. That animal had to sacrifice its life in order for the guests to have something to eat. And so this is the way it is. The sacrifice, the true sacrifice, the real sacrifice. He has come to this world, and he has gone to the cross having lived a righteous life all the way. No sin, no mistakes, nothing. But a man that could feel the feeling of our infirmities, as you know, the Bible tells us that our Savior is not one that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are. So you might say, "Well, I don't think I could live right." Now see, that's what the devil told me. He said, "Well, you'd just make a mess out of it. You wouldn't live right. Look what you've been doing. Are you going to just walk away from all that and think that you're not going to come back to it?" Well, that sounded so reasonable. But in fact, it was a lie. When the Lord saved my soul, I had no desire to go back to those things that I once did. I had a desire to be with the Lord and his people and to tell other people that there's going to be a wedding supper in heaven one day, and we're out as his servants giving the invitation to whosoever will, let him come. Well, as I see, you see, all of God called preachers see this, that people are turning their ears away from it. They don't want to hear it. Why? Why would anyone want to go to hell and burn forever and ever and ever with no end? Never. At any point in eternity will there ever be an end to the suffering. Never. There won't even be a pause in it. It will just go on and on and on and on and on. That's the reason it's called an endless day. It has, well, there's no time there. So it's something that is going to be real. It will include you one way or the other. You will be saved and will escape those flames if you don't seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. But to the child of God, like the song says, the only fire that he'll ever feel is that burning in our heart. And that's a love burn. It's a very big flame of love that burns in our heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But you remember this, that man, having not on the proper coat, the Lord asked him why. And he was speechless. But do you see why that this king became angry and asked all these people to come? Because look at the lavish adorning that had been done on that palace. Like I said, it was always beautiful. But now then, this is a special occasion. This is whenever his son is getting married. And so I want to tell all of you, and I know there's people who are not Christians, that they hate Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you this from Scripture, that if you ever expect to go to heaven, and if you say you love God, then you have to love his son. You can't separate the two of them. And if you don't love his son, you just may as well be telling your friends and neighbors goodbye. I'm going to a place I'll never return. It's going to be a land of darkness, where that the darkness is so thick you can feel it, where that the fire is so hot, but yet it never burns out. Oh, lost friend, I beg you, why are you not seeking the Lord while you can? The time's going to come, you can't. And then it's too late. Now, you know, whenever Paul, this man that is writing to young Timothy here, whenever he had made his defense before Felix and Festus, they were trying to bring charges against Paul to get him killed, the Jews were, that he had caused problems in Jerusalem because he had brought a Gentile into the temple, which was not true. But nevertheless, they tried to make that charge stick. And so Paul appealed to Caesar, which was the president over everything. And so Paul was a Roman citizen, so he had that right. He could appeal to Caesar. And everyone that heard him, they said, well, you know, we don't find any fault in this man. And just like Pilate would say, I don't find any fault in Jesus. He said that at least three times, maybe four times. I find no fault in this man. Why are you wanting to kill him? He's the one that's been begging your case all the time, and yet you want to kill him. Well, that's the same way it is with Jesus. He's loved us. He's presented himself as a living sacrifice till the law was finished or completed in obedience, and then he offered himself as a sacrifice. And so he was the priest, he was the sacrifice that was being offered, and he offered it. And so you see, Jesus is everything. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. So here's what I want you to see about this great apostle Paul. He's like a lot of you that persecute the Lord's church, that persecute Christians. That's the way Paul did. He would go and arrest Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem to be jailed. And you know, even Stephen, he was stoned to death because of his belief and faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul later saw the era of what that was. And it was Saul then that Paul's name was, but Saul stood there and held the garments, giving the approval of those brutish soldiers that would stone him to death. And now then he finds himself in the same situation that was Stephen was in. He's been, his life has now come into being threatened. I'm going to say this, and I don't want to say it, but I just may as well be honest all the way. And that is that if some of you, if certain people found out that you were saved or even thinking about it, you might lose your life. But I'm going to tell you this, beloved, if you do lose your life, if you have been saved, don't worry about it. The Lord has already walked through the rivers. He's walked through the water already for you. And he'll leave a trail behind him that you and I could walk across death on dry ground. That's the way it is. But you know how that is since winter is here and it's cold, you and I, we need a coat. We need a covering. Well, as Paul himself would testify, he persecuted the church of God and wasted it. But whenever he heard the gospel, the good news, then he made his way spiritually to the cross of Calvary, where Jesus had already come. And whenever Jesus had finished the requirements that were against you and I, on that cross, he looked back through the law and the prophets. And whenever he was satisfied that he had kept everything that was against you and I, he bowed his head and let himself die. But you know what Jesus did? That righteousness that he was clothed in, because he had not sinned, he was righteous. He left that coat or cloak hanging on the cross so that anyone that would come there that was cold, that was nearing death, that the coldness had just about taken their life away because of being involved in the cold things of this world. The world is cold toward God. They are icy against him. But Paul did, like I did, and like so many millions have done, by faith, we went to that coat that was hanging on the cross. And we were like the woman that had the issue of blood for 18 years. We said within ourselves, if I but touch the hem of his garment, his coat, then I'll be made whole. We did, she did, and we've all been made whole in that spiritual sense. Let me ask you, what are you waiting on? Would it not? Are you going to wait till you die? Listen, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to walk before God and he'll say, friend, why don't you have this coat on? You're going to stand there speechless. There's nothing you can say. There's certainly nothing you can say that God's going to accept. There's going to be many there in that day that'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name didn't we do many wonderful works? But he said, then I'll profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Please don't do that. That's not wise. That's being foolish. Seek the Lord, as the scripture says, with all thine heart. Call upon him while he's near, and forsake your evil ways and just trust in the good that he did was satisfying the law and the prophets and everything. And now then God is well pleased with his son. He'll be pleased with you if you have Jesus' coat on you when you stand before him, his righteousness. Otherwise, I feel so sorry for you. We have a free CD that we give away, and you'll be given an address at the end of the program where you may write. My address is Brother Paul, 2701, Sample, Sample, Scales, Scales, Road, Homer, Homer, Georgia. 30547 USA. May God bless you richly till this same time next week.